If you've been with us the last couple months, you know we've been digging into the subject of healing in Scripture, both inner and outer healing, but mainly bodily healing. And this morning, I want to look at how God's Word is medicine to our flesh. God's Word is medicine to our flesh. You know, the real foundation of both inward and outward health is, of course, the Lord. It's not, you know, it's not medicine, it's not our diet, it's not our exercise. The source of all health is the Lord. It is His life, it is His love, it is His grace. The Lord is Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who heals. Jesus is the Son of Righteousness with healing in His wings. He is the life, He is the light of man. He is the life and light of our soul and our body. Everything, the Scripture teaches that everything we need for life and godliness is found in Christ and through Christ. So as we meditate on His Word and seek to be conformed to it, we will be transformed, Paul says in Romans 12. And really that word is the same word that is used of Jesus' transfiguration. We will be transfigured by the Word. We will be changed by it. There is no limit to the change that the omnipotent God can bring about in the believer who soaks and clings to His Word. This is the God who transformed the likes of Mary Magdalene, Zacchaeus, and Saul of Tarsus, among many others. They were struck by His Word as if by an arrow from heaven, by the Word which is living and sharper than any two-edged sword. They were delivered by the manifested love in their midst. This same Jesus, with His same Word, can work miracles in our midst today. Amen? That same Word is right here, right now, in our lives, in our homes. The written Word, the living Word, Jesus Christ. The sad thing is that many of us who have come to the Father have not always been living with the Father. We looked at that last week in the parable of the prodigal son, how one of the boys was lost even though he lived on the Father's properties. He forgot two essential truths. One, that the Father was always with him. And two, that everything the Father had was his. The full inheritance. But a lot of people live like the older brother. They don't understand what they possess in Christ. We have left our inheritance in the bank. We've instead sought to live through our own effort, through our own strength, through our own resources. We have sought to please our Father and win His favor and win His blessings and beg Him and plead and cry. But we don't need to do that. Instead, we must turn to His Word and understand who we are, to live in light of the truth of His Word, to set the Word of God above all other words. And when we do that, we are trusting Him with our hearts and we're not leaning on our own understanding. We're trusting in His revelation knowledge above all of our sensory knowledge, right? We are living from the wisdom which is above rather than from our own natural carnal wisdom. And when we do that, when we live by God's Word, when we live by God's wisdom, our lives will prosper according to that Word. You know, the book of Proverbs is full of illustration about how God's Word and His wisdom does not just affect our soulish and emotional states, but it also affects our physical state. In fact, our soulish, our inner state is very much linked to our outward state. Look at how Proverbs 3 puts it. In Proverbs 3, verse 1, "My child, never forget the things I have taught you. Store my commands in your heart. If you do this, you will live many years, and your life will be satisfying. Never let loyalty and kindness leave you. Tie them around your neck as a reminder. Write them deep within your heart. Then you will find favor with both God and people, and you will earn a good reputation. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek His will in all you do, and He will show you which path to take. Don't be impressed with your own wisdom. Instead, fear the Lord and turn away from evil. Then you will have healing for your body and strength for your bones. You know, in this passage, we see healing for the body is a result of storing God's word in our heart and trusting Him. The Good News Translation puts the last verse like this. It says, it will be like good medicine, healing your wounds and easing your pains. Storing God's word in our heart and highly valuing it above our own fleshly wisdom and understanding, the Bible says, is like good medicine to us. The great physician knows exactly what we need, and we can never take enough of his medicine. You cannot overdose on the word of God. His word is not poison, okay? The medicine we come up with can be like poison sometimes. And it can't actually heal the root cause of things. It can only alleviate, you know, the effects of the root cause generally, right? But once we drink the whole medicine bottle of God's word, you know what happens? We realize it's like the bread that Jesus multiplied. The bread never ran out, right? It is like the widow of Zarephath's jug of olive oil. There was always more olive oil there. The word of God should not be treated as something that we master and never need to go back to again. Rather, it should be treated as something that we feed on daily, that we meditate on, that we chew, that is as precious to us as bread is precious to us, that is as important to us as medicine. Jesus reminds us of the importance of being sustained by God's word in the book of Matthew. In Matthew 4:4, Jesus says this, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. We were never designed by God to merely feed on material substance. You know that? We were designed to feed on fellowship with the Father, to walk with Him and talk with Him. Thankfully, even when we were exiled from the Garden of Eden, from the garden where God's presence dwelt, He still sent His word to be with His people. The scripture is the primary way God speaks to his people. And as we feed on it in the context of the revelation of the living word, Jesus Christ, we are strengthened and equipped to live life to the fullest. To not just have life that is just merely fed by bread, but to have abundant life, which is fed by the bread of heaven. Now look what Proverbs goes on to say in Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. For they are life to those who find them, and health to all their flesh. Why do we keep God's word in our innermost being? Because it is life and it is health. The Jubilee translation says it is medicine to all their flesh. Now think about this. When the doctor gives you instructions about how to take medicine, how often you take it, and how much you take, how many know that most people will follow the doctor's instruction as closely as possible, right? Why do we do that? Because we trust the doctor has an expertise, right? That he has studied, that he has spent decades, right, learning and studying about the medicine he's giving to people, and hopefully he's doing a good job. We trust that he is skilled in helping people. How much more do we need to take the instruction of the great physician? When it comes to the health of our mind, our heart, our soul, our body, we need to do what our great doctor says in heaven, which is to give attention to his word, incline our ear to his sayings, do not let them depart from our eyes, and keep them in the midst of our heart. Our senses need to be filled with the revelation knowledge of what God has done in our ears, our eyes, our heart. Everything needs to be saturated by what God says. If the doctor says to take the medicine twice a day, guess what people do? They take it twice a day. if they want the medicine to have the most beneficial effect on them. Well, it's similar with Scripture. Unless we ingest the Scripture, unless we open it, unless we meditate on it, which is simply a word that just means chew it, ruminate over it, it will remain lifeless to us, right? If you put the medicine bottle just on your bedstand and it just stays there, guess what? It's not going to have effect on you. If you leave your Bible just on the bedstand and you never open it up, guess what? It's not going to have an effect on you. Proverbs says again and again that we must keep the Scripture continually before our eyes and deep within our hearts, that it must be highly prized, not just in some little corner of our mind, but we must continually feed on the Word if we want to stay strong in the Word, just as we continually feed our body with breakfast, lunch, and dinner if we want to stay strong. The medicine of the Word is potent. It has a powerful punch to it. When Jesus spoke the word to Satan, guess what happened? Satan fled. The word is described by Paul as the sword of the Spirit. It is the offensive weapon the Christian has. It does battle. It drives away gloom. It drives away fear. It drives away hate. It says no to ungodliness. It triumphs over the devil and disease. It is the grace of God at work on your behalf. We need to put the word to work. We need to hide it in our heart like David hid it in his heart. And he said in Psalm 119, he said, "Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you." When the word is hidden in that place, it comes to fruition in our lives and it accomplishes that which it was sent to accomplish. You know, God has always used his word as a remedy to our troubles and to our bondages. It's not people relying on their own strength, their own wisdom, their own whatever. It's people relying on what the word of the Lord says. When the Israelites got themselves in trouble, you know what God did? He sent his word. Psalm 107, verse 19. "Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses." How? "He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions." In their distress, while near the gates of death, Israel called to the Lord. He healed them. You know, he would always send his prophet to bring restoration. Whenever Israel rediscovered the word of the Lord, there was revival and there was renewal in their midst. God still heals today by sending the word. It reminds me of the story of the centurion who had his sick servant. What did he ask Jesus to do? "Just speak the word and my servant will be healed." Just send the word, Jesus. We can speak God's word today. We can declare God's word over sickness and over disease. We can put God's word on assignment and we can enthrone it above every word. He sent his word and healed them. You know, the Apostle Paul so highly valued the word that when he would leave the communities he had established, whether he spent 3 weeks with them, whether he spent 18 months with them, or whether he spent 3 years with them, you know what he would direct their mind to when he left? He would direct them to the word. In fact, the community he spent the most time with was the Ephesians. And it was a great emotional scene when he had to finally leave this community, and he called all the elders to him at the seashore before he's about to depart. And this is one of Paul's charges to these leaders in Ephesus. He says this in Acts 20, verse 32. "So now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified." The word of his grace that Paul wanted the Ephesian leaders established in and built upon, you know what that was? It is the message of the gospel. It is the letter that he wrote him, the book of Ephesians. That is the word of his grace. It was the letter that he wrote to Colossians that was circulating around. That is the word of his grace. It is the message of who they are in Christ Jesus,
of what he has done in redeeming them through his cross, through his resurrection, through his ascension, through the sending of his Spirit. I give you and commend you to God and to the word of his grace. Establish yourself in that word. You know, it is the word that has the power to build up, Paul says. It is the word that has the power to impart God's inheritance to those whom he has set apart, who he has sanctified. Paul wanted the elders of Ephesians to be absorbed by the word, to meditate on the word, to even see the Old Testament word through the lens of the word of his grace, of Jesus Christ, to feed on it and to feed their flocks on it. And Paul knew that that is what would have a transforming effect on them. Even though he was gone, they were commended to the word of his grace. Jesus wanted us to know the power of his words of grace. He knew it had the power to free us. He knew it had the power to build us up. He knew it had the power to impart the inheritance of the kingdom. Look what he says in the Gospel of John in John 8:31. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Now, at what point does the truth make us free? After we've been abiding in it. After we've been marinating in it. After we've had a steady diet of it. After it has been assimilated into our inmost being. After it is not departed from our eyes, not departed from our ears, not departed from our heart. After we know it in the very depths of our being. Transformation, you know, generally doesn't occur overnight. It generally takes time. Renewal generally takes time. But as we abide in Christ's word, as we feed ourselves on truth, as we build our house on the rock of Christ's teaching, then freedom comes. So we need to abide, we need to live, we need to soak in the word, we need to remain in the word, we need to water that word that is in us, we need to let the word saturate us. We need to let the truth overwhelm us. And once it is thoroughly abiding in you and you are thoroughly abiding in it, once you know it at the core of your being, there is perfect freedom in that place. There is the word coming to fruition in your life. There is the peace that passes understanding. There is the joy unspeakable and full of glory. There is the love made manifest in your love walk with others. There is health and there is wholeness and there is well-being. There is freedom. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. You know, the word of God is medicine for the whole person. It renews our minds, it enlarges our heart, it refreshes our souls, and it strengthens our bodies. A popular medical term concerning how someone's inner life, the life of the heart, is related to their outer life, their bodily life, is the term psychosomatic. It simply means a physical illness or other condition caused or aggravated by a mental factor, such as internal conflict or stress. Many doctors today understand that most of the health issues are caused by things such as stress, hate, condemnation, bitterness, unforgiveness, trauma, etc. But this observation really isn't anything new. The Bible is full of that insight, especially the book of Proverbs. Let me show you three verses from Proverbs. Proverbs 14:30. A heart at peace gives life to the body, but envy rots the bones. You know, how is the heart going to be at peace? When God's word is kept in the midst of the heart, deep within it, that peaceful heart will give life to the body. It will vivify the body. But a heart full of envy will rot the body, or rot the bones. One scholar said this about this verse, "Flesh and bones are only as healthy as the spirit they encase." Proverbs 17:22 says this, a merry heart does good like medicine, but a broken spirit dries the bones." Proverbs 18:14 says this, "The spirit of a man will sustain him in sickness, but who can bear a broken spirit?" It is no wonder that Nehemiah says, "The joy of the Lord is my strength." We are new creation in Christ Jesus. Jesus was anointed to do what? To heal the brokenhearted, to restore our inner life, to give us the strength to press through every sickness, knowing we are victors and overcomers, that he has taken it away, knowing he is in us, knowing we are more than conquerors through the one who loved us. One reason Jesus commands us to forgive others when we pray is because he knows healing happens from the inside out. The most important healing is the healing of the heart, of the spirit, of the soul. And that if our hearts are stopped up with unforgiveness or bitterness or hatred, then it is going to stop the flow of the medicine that he wants to pour into our life. Unforgiveness is rot to us emotionally and physically. But forgiveness and love, you know what that does? It fleshes out all the rot in your life. If we want to be whole, we must be filled with the word of Christ. We must abide there. We must abide in the life of Christ, in the love of Christ. We must abide in his word. And when we abide in his word, Jesus says we can ask whatever we desire and it will be done. We must give room to God's word. You know, there were some people who weren't giving room to God's word. John 8:37 says this. Jesus is speaking. I know that you are Abraham's descendants. Yet you are looking for a way to kill me. Why? Because you have no room for my word. Or the New King James. My word has no place in you. Christ's word to the Pharisees was like the seed in the parable of the sower that fell along the wayside and was immediately trampled down and gobbled up by the birds. The word was not received in a good and noble heart. It was not received in faith. It was not watered. It was not acted upon. The heart was closed and constricted to Christ's word. It gave no opportunity for the word to do its work. It gave no room to it. It gave no place to it. But the word of God, Jesus says, should be given the highest place in the human heart. We must make room for it in our memories. We must make room for it in our thoughts. We must make room for it in our affections. The word should be honored as the truest thing in all reality. It should be set on the throne in our hearts above all other feelings. It should be set on the throne above all other thoughts that come our way. That God's word is true, and I don't care how I feel. God's word is true. We should regularly plant God's word in our heart and the heart of others. We should water the word by meditating on it. We should be at perfect peace knowing that God will bring increase to that word. Knowing that he will cause the seed to grow and that it will come to fruition in us. We can plant, we can water, and we can believe God will bring the increase. The beginning of the Christian's life should be one that devours the word like a hungry little baby right after it's born from its mother's womb. What did they do with the baby? They throw it on the mother's chest, right? And they said, suck. 1 Peter 2, verse 2. Like newborn babies crave pure spiritual milk. Crave it, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. Know that you have tasted that the Lord is good. Paul was grateful that Thessalonians had placed such a high value on the word. He says this, 1 Thessalonians 2:13. For this reason, we also thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it, not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe. When the word is received, not as the word of man, but as the word of God, it has opportunity to effectively work in you. You know, unlike the Pharisees in John 8, God's word was effective in the Thessalonians. It was fruitful because they received it by faith. And when we receive the scriptures as the word of God, they will always work effectively. One can shout an amen in their heart when the scripture is seen, not as man's word, but as God's word. If I'm reading the Bible and I'm just thinking it's man's word, I can disagree with it and say, that's pretty stupid. That doesn't make sense to my feelings, doesn't make sense to my emotions, doesn't make sense to my senses. But when I know it's the word of God and I say amen to it. I say God spoke it. I say it's the word of God and the word of God cannot be broken, Jesus said. So we can shout amen because God does not lie. We can shout amen because God does not deceive. We can shout amen because God does not stutter. The revelation imparted through his word is truer than any knowledge we receive through our senses. We must place his revelatory word above everything. The preached word must be mixed with faith in those who hear it. And those who do have faith in the word enter into the rest of that word. They're no longer troubled. We count the word as true. If we do not have a peace point, it would be well for us to hear the word again and again and again, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God, or hearing the message of Jesus Christ, hearing the word of grace. If we do not have that peace point, let's heed the word. We must settle every trouble in our heart by heeding that word, including every sickness and disease that tries to bind us. We would do well to hear the word as if it's being spoken by the lips of Jesus. Jesus says, John 15:7, I quoted this earlier, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. When the word of God abides in us, we know we're asking according to the will of God, and we know we're going to have what we ask of him. There's a confidence and a boldness to our prayers and in our simple living. The word of Christ, Jesus says, it is like the solid foundation of the man who builds on the rock. No matter what storm comes its way, no matter what sickness comes its way, no matter what trouble comes its way, our lives will not be destroyed. It will not be shaken, for we have built on the firm foundation of Jesus' word. We need the Lord's word abiding in us, and we get there by feeding on it, soaking in it, meditating on it, diligently taking it as the most miraculous medicine the world has ever known, placing the highest value on it, receiving it as God's word, not the word of man. We can be like Mary, who said, let it be to me according to your word, and that's all you ever need to say. Isn't that good news?